Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Montreal exports cock-flavoured lollipops, Paul Gallen is too tough for his own good, and the Broncos start to implode. Again, welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys, live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTBpodcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's the man who this week had his 9th AstraZeneca jab. He's been announced as a contestant in Celebrity MasterChef, and tonight he's wearing a hashtag Save Kev t-shirt. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Mortdale, you magnificent COVID-free suburb. The live show on Saturday, former, is not affected by any restrictions in New South Wales. Thank you, Boris Garaglikian, you magnificent, handsome premier. Pubs and clubs are open, former. I put out a tweet about an hour ago to let everyone know there's no restrictions unless you're going to sit there during the whole live show and play Queen of the Nile pokey room.
That's me.
You're going to have to wear a mask.
Well, I'm out.
But if you play Queen of the Nile and drink Woodstock bourbons, you don't have to wear a mask.
And welcome back, former. You're back in.
Boris Garaglikian, you magnificent,
you don't go
handsome
suit,
bastard.
Suit. You are a dead set coward.
Oh, a dead set cat.
Just while we're on the hellos, hello to all the gangsters at Channel 9 in Brisbane.
I saw that on the script, but there's nothing else on there. What's that about?
Well, there was a bloke from Channel 9 Brisbane who had a crack at Paul Gallen. Now, I'm loath to defend Paul Gallen, as you know, Sid.
Always welcome on the show, Gal.
Not really. Fit you in for five, tight five if you've got five. Yeah, you probably want 1500 for it. Truth be known. Yeah, we'd have to check all your silverware on the way out.
No, wow. But I he can fight, you know.
Well, can he?
You're talking yourself up a treat here.
No, but this bloke from Brisbane Channel 9,
yeah,
he had a crack at Gal by saying, oh, Paul Gallen said he was going to knock him out, and Paul Gallen said he was going to put him in hospital.
Break his arm or something.
You've got to call him out. If he's going to say shit like that before a fight, there's nothing wrong with calling him out. Well, and I just wrote back, look at this bloke.
Yeah.
Dead set. Thinks that everything said before a fight should be said under oath.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote, jog on dum-dum. To which about 12 people started following me. All from the Channel 9 newsroom in Brisbane.
Interesting.
Like gangsters.
Awesome.
Send in the troops. So I followed one in case they wanted to open our lines of communication via DMs. But
so we're calling you out right now.
Radio silence. I'll probably knock about 7 or 8 of them over. Obviously the weather girl, she's in trouble. But yeah, so that's been my week. What's Duncan McRae want in other news?
Yeah, he keeps, I'm not sure if you can hear that. He keeps messaging me. He's got some specials for Bluebet. We'll get to that later.
All right, let's do this.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
First story comes from the Coonabarabran Chronicle. Montreal's hottest food trend is vagina waffles, Sid.
Vagina waffles.
Erotic desserts are the talk of the town this summer in Montreal. First, ZZ Pop in the old port introduced us to the penis pops, but now, oh God, Cote de Nagoise, ma belle guafes el delices.
Mate, I've got to give you props there. That was pretty good. It was wrong, but it was pretty good.
I think you got Des right.
Yeah.
Has revolutionized.
Right? Who has? Who's revolutionized?
Cote de Nagoise, ma belle guafes el delices. has revolutionised the art form with its latest innovation, vagina waffles. Now, I can say it again. Marbello Gaufres et Delices has five different flavours of vaginal treats made of the waffles on its menu, including the salty cream cavern, the raspberry-flavoured heavy weak waffle, the beer-flavoured yeasty ya-ya, the chocolate-flavoured mud flap, and the tuna-topped fillet of fish flange.
I wondered where you were going to go with any of this.
They also offer customizable vagina waffles, Sid. Each waffle type is priced at $7. And as I was telling you before we went on air, this is the place I went to about 2 years ago in Montreal, and they were serving them then, these vagina-shaped waffles.
Yep.
Although, as I was telling you off here, I sent all five that I ordered back because they all had hair on them. Not the way I like them, Sid.
Oh, you're still going. Keep going.
Additionally, Marbello also make penis pops. A fan favourite is the chocolate-dipped Oxford Street Special. This is perfect for those
I tend to gag on them.
Do you?
Yeah.
I get the back end hits me chin because I push them in so quick. This is perfect for those.
Wow.
Who may be lacking. Listen, while we're on this subject,
yeah,
stop putting us in tweets to do a joy arrow and a throat infection.
Oh, what about that today?
Stop it.
That blew up.
We can get ourselves in trouble. We don't need your help.
Don't tag us in there. And have you noticed, they don't tag joy arrow in it. They just tag old Sid Punts and former legend in it. You're not clever.
You're not funny.
No.
Well, you're funny, but...
No, it's heaps funny.
But stop
leave
it.
Us out of it.
Leave us out. Put in someone else.
Anyway. No, let's move on.
Yeah, what were we saying?
What else you got?
Oh, that'll do.
Oh, that's it? Look, these vag waffles, they look pretty tasty, former.
They always are.
You wondered at first why they were selling waffles in the shape of a Volvo. You said it didn't really look like a Volvo. When I told you it was a vulva, you just looked at me blankly like you are right now. And you weren't quite sure what that little bit at the top was, but these look fantastic.
Well, I couldn't find them in mine.
They look great.
So they're very true to form.
They look like a taco filled with creamy goodness, but I tell you, avoid on the menu their blue waffles.
Oh, aren't they the best?
They look horrendous.
Google that
Go
while you listen.
Go and Google that, critters.
Get back to
us. We've told you that before.
Tell us what you find.
Yeah, steer clear of those. The tuna ones weren't the best, like you mentioned, but I'm actually not a big sweets eater, former, to be honest.
Mm.
I'm not a real waffle man. I'm more a fingered bun or a cream pie kind of guy.
FCTTTB sounds like too many T's to me. FCTTTTB, yeah, that's definitely too many T's.
Our next story comes from the Urine Quinty Observer.
Wow.
Just out past Walker. Model who asked for Pope's blessing before Playboy shoot.
Someone's got a street directory.
Mate, I know all these places.
Yeah.
Model who asked for Pope's blessing before Playboy shoot finally appears in magazine.
Good for her.
A model feels blessed to make the cover of the Danish edition of the Playboy magazine, said. Who knew Playboy was still a thing in other news?
Oh, I know.
This is the biggest thing to come out of this story for me.
But good on her.
In Twitter messages, D. Purdick begged Pope Francis to wish her well in her career. And while it's not clear if the head of the Catholic Church saw her request, the bombshell has managed to achieve her aim. After achieving the goal of making the Danish edition of Playboy magazine, Dee said, "Finally, I was blessed. For those with faith, any goal can be achieved."
So inspiring.
After fulfilling the huge career milestone, Dee vowed to sign the magazine as a token of appreciation. She said, "I want to dedicate my photos to Papa Frank because, for me, he is the greatest of the popes." While Dee says she's very devout, some have criticised her for contacting the religious leader. Previously, fans took aim at the model after she revealed she wanted to gain the Pope's approval. The babe said, "I was told that my request was invalid and that I was too sensual to be able to follow something from Papa Frank, Pope Francis." I mean, no dramas about sensuality between a priest and an older boy, Sid, but not Sheila's getting their Golden Globes out from a magazine. That'd
be frowned upon.
Very poor taste, in my opinion. She later revealed, but only God must judge. I'll judge. But it seems as though the model has another good thing coming her way next month.
She's got a couple of good things. I've seen the issue.
Seems the model has another good thing coming her way, Sid punts. Next month, the bombshell will represent the state of Minas Gerais in the Miss Bum Bum competition.
Yeah, one of our favourite competitions.
Which, ironically, God is judging. Recently, the model revealed how she felt traumatised after going without sex during the lockdown. Mm. Speaking about the restrictions in Dubai last year, she said it was traumatising. I don't want a lockdown without sex anymore.
I'm hearing
Nobody can take it. Yeah. I'm hearing it too. I haven't been in lockdown, but I haven't had sex.
This lockdown's been going for about 20 years for you.
D-hit headlines after she revealed she spent an eye-watering £23,000 on plastic surgery to star on OnlyFans.
Listen, former, the Pope did not approve this. I won't hear of it. The Pope thought that Playboy was something completely different. But good on, what was the name?
Dee Purdick.
Yeah, good on Dee Purdick for chasing her dreams. God bless her, or at least his representative here. She's got some assets that need flaunting former, some pumped up lips, some cheeks, boobies that need to be seen. So good on her. There's a shot of her getting out of a helicopter.
Is there?
Yeah, I looked it up. And it looks like she set off the airbags.
Is it like at the 4077 where she ducks down and runs away from it?
She can't duck down because she's activated the airbags for her. I didn't even know helicopters had airbags. I wouldn't think they do much good, to be honest.
No.
But I've signed up to
it. But then again, putting your head between your knees if a plane's going to crash is probably not going to do much good either. But who am I to complain?
But I've spent all this sweet.
About to hit the ground like a fucking dart. Everyone get in the crash position. Oh, this will save me, will it? Really?
Kiss your ass goodbye. I don't want to let you know on air, but I've used all our sweet, sweet podcast cash to sign up to her OnlyFans page because it's what Jesus would have wanted.
Just before we move on from this story.
Yeah.
Top five popes of all time?
Top five popes.
FCTTV. Pipe. Pipe.
Papa Frank would be up there.
Mitchell Pope, if you're listening. good fella.
Pope Hoses, they're good. Hardly kink.
Hardly kink.
The next story comes from the Bilpin Bugle. I had threesome with dad and son. Now I lust for orgies with men who are related.
Ew.
I think that's the your autobiography name, Sid. A kinky bisexual woman has told how she lusts for orgies with men, me too. Oh, who are related. Me too. After tryst with a dad and a son, as well as two brothers. It's another day in Townsville, Sid.
Yeah,
The highly charged seductress, 29, insists her 56-year-old boyfriend, with whom she's in an open relationship with, is cool with her wild fantasies. And now she hopes to persuade his brother into a rendezvous. Speaking on a podcast, Full Credit the Boys.
Everyone's got a podcast now.
The woman explained how she and her man often indulge in drug-fueled orgies. Just write that down. She has been in a relationship with her partner, known as Dr. Harry Hyman, for 3 years and has no concerns about sharing her sexual desires with him. Originally from Russia, where she had a strict conservative upbringing, she's unleashed her wild side in the US, where she feels comfortable sharing her unusual fetish. She told the Full Credit the Boys podcast how she's very direct when walking down the street, often looks to make eye contact with men who she likes. It was about 2 years ago when I had sex with two brothers when Dr. Harry Hyman was away, and I think he went to Ibiza. Of course he did. 56-year-olds always go to Ibiza.
Or the Gold Coast.
When I think dance parties, I think Ibiza. I don't remember, she says. I was staying in New York all by myself a week, and of course I had to have sex. It was with two brothers. One of the nights, another time, it was a father and a son, a sexy father, of course. She said that the rule she has with her partner is that when they have sex with other people, they don't go out dating them afterwards because that'd be weird.
There's a line for me.
Returning to the story with the two brothers, she said she knew as you were going to have sex with them from the outset. She said, when I saw them together, we went to a bar and then went back to a hotel. From the beginning, I knew I was going to fuck them. I thought chemistry, it was so hot.
Yeah, wow.
Would you have sex with your brother there? I'm not sure. I always like.
I don't
to
have
do
a
it.
Brother, but no.
I mean, I'm always worried about crossing swords, you know what I'm saying? like two lightsabers in the dark.
I wouldn't worry about it. Jeez, you'd have to get close.
What are you doing, bro?
That's the least of your concerns.
I always like to do it together, she said, even with other girls. Hello. With nobody watching.
Pick me interest there. Hang on, what?
I'm back. I love being with girls too, she said. She admits her, all right. She admits her interest in incestuous sexual exploits is right up there with Catholic schools in southwestern Sydney.
I'm not allowed to say that. There's an injunction.
She also hasn't ruled out having sex with her partner's brother. I like it more with the related person, so that is why with Dr. Harry Hyman, I was thinking that I'd like to have sex with his brother, someone related. This is maybe on my list, she says. He accepts me. He's into all my ideas. So I would do that, but I'm not sure his brother would be able to do that.
Look,
only because he's dead.
Look, I don't know what to make of any of this, former. This chick has some daddy issues and some brother, uncle and grandpa issues by the sounds of it. But it's not that unusual. We've all had sex with two brothers at detention on a Friday arvo for like nothing. I didn't even do anything.
Back to the toilets. NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, NRL round 15 review brought to you by Bluebet, as we said.
It was a shit round.
Well, I'll tell you what, it started on Turds Day when South Sydney Rabbitohs spanked the Broncos, who didn't even fire a shot in anger, going down 46 points to nil. The Broncos were humiliated on live TV once again, Sid. It's a weekly thing these days.
Yep.
This time being absolutely hammered by a Bunnies team who probably know more than a 6 out of 10 themselves.
That's true.
The game finished with tries to the Bunnies in the 10th, 23rd, 37th, 44th, 55th, 60th, 62nd and 68th minute as they rolled in 8 tries without the Broncos side bothering the scorer. Once again, Buck the Horse ended the day in a calorie credit, not required to do a single lap of Suncorp Oval, with 20,000 Broncos fans heading out of the gates at halftime as the home team were already down 18 points to nil.
Mate, the game of rugby league, how do I put it? It's fucked, former. I don't even get enjoyment out of the Broncos being flogged anymore.
I'm going to be honest, I do.
Yeah, okay, maybe I went off a little bit too early there. There's too many blowouts at the moment. 46-0 in this one. They had to get Billy Slater to ride Buck the Bronco around the ground. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Just to give him a run.
Was he ever a jockey?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or a beach sprinter.
I'm not sure. I get those two confused. This was a total domination by the Bunnies. They had 58% possession in this one.
No, I think he's Preston Campbell's son.
As both teams only completed at 68% each, you go 46-0 and you're only completing at 68%. It's a
questions asked.
It's a turd of a game at the moment. 25 errors in the match, 11 from the Broncos, 14 from the Bunnies. The Bunnies ran for twice as many metres as the Broncos, but it's just not a spectacle at the moment, former. Rugby league is dead set rubbish. This is our last show. I'm not doing this anymore. Everyone's sick of blowouts and they're sick of NRL. I've said it.
Supercoach Kevin Walters ran with his 38th different halves combination for the year, Sid, as Harmichael Cunt and Tyson Gamble performed as expected, as Harmichael in particular had a shocker, returning to the NRL for the first time since 2009 and finished with just 19 running metres from 3 runs to go.
He played last week, didn't he?
22 tackles. I could have. Who knows? It was missable.
No one listens and 3 missed tackles. Anymore.
Gamble, who was described after the game on Fox Sports as a, and I quote, solid Queensland Cup player, wasn't overly impressive either, ending with 26 tackles, 3 missed tackles, and 30 running metres to humble Harmichael.
A few weeks ago, he was the star of the show, Gamble.
Yeah, what about that? With the Bulldogs running for him, trying to sign him. And
yeah, another one that the West Tigers lost. Gamble played one match for the Tigers back in 2018.
Failed to impress.
But now he's been paired in the halves with Harmichael. He's not travelling so well. And neither are the Broncos. There's unrest up there, former. We'll talk about that a little later in the show.
Yeah. The second game was Friday at about 6 o'clock when the Cronulla Sharks hung on to beat the Queensland Cowboys 26 points to 24. By Friday night, Sid, the Sharks were sitting in seventh place after winning their fourth game in a row, holding out a brave Cowboys side in a true stinker of a game up there at the Blues Fortress. After leading 20 points to 12 at halftime and up by 14 with just 7 minutes remaining, the Sharks looked set to coast to their fourth successive victory until Cowboys winger Kyle Felt pinched a quickfire double. But the comeback was snubbed out when Reece Robson was sin-binned for a high tackle on Aiden Tolman with 2 minutes to go.
This was a joke of a sin-binning. There's too many rule changes. I'm in a mood, former. NRL's getting my goat at the moment. This should have been a penalty, if that. But you say this game was a stinker. I actually thought it was pretty exciting the last 20 minutes.
The last 20 minutes was.
Not so much if you're a Sharkies fan. They looked like they had this wrapped up. But Will Chambers, he kept running out of the line, and I don't know if he was deliberately missing tackles, but geez, he looked good at it. And it allowed the Cows to fight back right to the end with 40 seconds to go for him. It was exciting. The dreamy Val Holmes had a chance to kick a 2-point field goal. There's another rule we just invented the other day to level it up, but it wasn't to be. After all that build up, it turned out shit house. The Sharkies, they're on a roll. After I said they were headed for the wooden spoon, mostly to piss off my Sharkies mates. Hey, Lynn.
They've stopped the rot, haven't they?
Hey, beer boy. Hey, Nate. They've now gone 4 wins on the trot. I can pick them.
Yeah, and I believe the coach down there now wants to be known as the Don.
The Don? He's batting 100 of the last 4.
Dead set after this game, he went outside and raised the bat to the crowd. I don't know what that's all about.
I reckon the Panthers are dead set morals for this comp. That's ruined them.
Again, the medical fraternity have asked, could you please cheer on cancer? The Sharkies, or COVID, if you could, that'd be great.
I'm back in COVID to last for years. There you go. Fixed it. You're
not
welcome.
Only are you back in COVID, you're calling for 12 more strains.
You're welcome, global population. Fixed it.
The Sharkies were leading by 14 with 7 minutes to go. But all but gave up their lead as Cowboys winger Kyle Felt, as we mentioned, scored twice in the 73rd and 74th minute.
What about that one? Will Chambers is there.
Oh!
Rested on his knees. There's like 20 centimetres between him and the corner post, and Kyle Felt's like, that's enough. Let's put it over the line.
Mate, that was like touch football.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
It was awesome.
Oh!
And I tagged him.
I got so cranky watching it. I was like, what the fuck? He is doing.
It was exciting. This is what Volandis wants.
It was only Sean Johnson's flawless goal kicking that was the difference between
and
the
complexion.
Two sides. But back to Felt, he finished the game with a stonking 168 running metres, 2 line breaks, 12 tackle busts, and his 2 quick fire tries.
Yeah, it was a great win for the Sharkies up there at Blues Fortress Stadium. Aiden Tolan made an absolute try saving tackle on the dreamy Val Holmes. Mm. Then this guy,
you done messed up, Aaron!
He scored a try. Can you believe Aaron scored a try? Then carried on like a mug lair to the crowd doing these ones. No one can see it because it's a podcast, but I'm doing it to you. Great scenes.
No, those people watching YouTube on the vodcast are really enjoying these scenes.
Subscribe to our Patreon so that you can see that. Coach Cranky said to his troops at full time, look, it's not that we lost the game, but fuck me, we made Tolman and Woods look good.
The second game on Friday night saw the Penrith Panthers too strong for the Sydney Roosters, 38 points to 12. Now, despite being down by 12 after just 11 minutes, the Panthers returned serve, scoring the next 6 tries to get their season back on track in torrential rain at Full Credit the Boys, brought to you by BlueBet Stadium. After losing their past 2 games, the premiership favourites returned to form, playing an amazing dry weather brand of footy in howling wind and rain. The win kept them on equal first with the Storm and gave them back some confidence after the Tigers showed the world that they were nowhere near the invincible side that some would have you believe.
Yeah, they've really struggled of late, the Panthers, since the Tigers toweled them up 2 weeks ago.
That form has rung true.
There's actually been some questions asked about the Panthers lately. Will they choke again in the big dance? Will they even make it that far after losses to the Tigers and the Sharks? Is Ivan Cleary really a wanker? There's a lot of questions, but they got into gear after being down 12-0 to put on 38 unanswered points to win this one. It's a Volandi special yet again, and they're still atop the ladder. Equal?
Yeah. Did you say they were down 12-0?
12-0.
Oh, I thought you said zit. I was going to say, geez, get off Nathan's back. Only the zits I'm saying get off his back. Nathan Cleary is just 22, Sid.
That's why he's got acne.
Let that sink in. At different times.
I had acne when I was 14.
At different times, he had a few knocks on him. He doesn't perform in big games, they said. He has no creativity and plays too structured.
That's what you say all the time.
Or that he's a shit dancer on TikTok.
TikTok sensation, Nathan Cleary.
Yet right now, he's easily the best halfback outside of Luke Brooks and maybe even the best player outright.
Yep.
In this game, he absolutely dominated play, having a hand in almost everything for the Panthers as they came back from 12-0 down, finishing with 38 running metres, two line break assists, two try assists, a try and 18 points. Given the sweet spot for halves is usually around the 28 to 30-year age bracket, you have to wonder, Sid, where his game will be in the next 5 or so years.
Yeah, I totally agree. By the time he hangs up the boots, former, he is that good that he could probably win 10 State of Origin series and lose 7 or 8 grand finals. He's only 22. He's absolutely on fire. He's got to drop a couple of full credit to the boys in some interviews to reach immortal status, but he's heading that way. He'll carve up the Cane Toads again this Sunday, and the Panthers will march towards an inevitable grand final loss.
Yeah, Nathan Cleary could probably learn from one of our favourites here.
Panthers winger Brian Tut.
Who dead set will drop a full credit of the boys anytime you stick a microphone under his
multiple
mouth.
Multiple times. He's a legend.
Some would say he'll do it twice. Have a listen to this.
Thank you. I'm here with Brian To'o. Well, Brian, after a couple of tough weeks at the club, how important was that win tonight?
No, it was really good to be back on the winning. Full credit to the boys. We really grind out this whole week just based on culture, and they really backed us up this tonight. I thought there was a footy on the right side of my eye. I couldn't see on the right, but full credit to the boys for getting me free.
We'll go and enjoy the win.
Thank you.
There's a little bit of a whisper around, Sid, that this is no coincidence.
Yeah, and we encourage it.
Yeah.
Any other first grade player out there listening?
In fact,
that's what you got to do, man. That's what you got to do.
Extra points if you drop a slippery former legend into your post-match commentary.
If you can somehow work in a Sid Punts into your post-match interview.
I'll even admit that will go down in legendary status.
I think that would be proof.
The next game, and the Knights beat the Warriors, not before they beat everyone that was watching it, winning 10 points to 6. If you Google bludger of a game, Sid, you'll forever be pointed towards this matchup as the Knights and Warriors played out a 4-point nail-biter in bitter conditions at Fuck or Fight Stadium. It took a 76th-minute try to Knights fill-in centre Brody Jones to break a 20-minute 6-all deadlock. And it was a good result for the return to footy for Knights halfback Mitchell Pearce, one of a number of Newcastle players to miss around half of the season so far in 2021.
Yeah, look, as I said before, no one wants to see a blowout of a game, former, but equally, no one wants to see them have to run out after halftime with a bell in the ball, like should have happened in this game.
Oh.
This was a dour game of footy in front of 10,000.
You didn't want any more
crazy
blowouts. I'm sick of blowouts. Stop being blowouts.
And then this came on. I was like, put that blowout on again. But 10,000 crazy Novocastrians turned out for this one. They just turn up to see their Knights battle it out in all sorts of weather.
Mm.
No matter how well they're travelling. And so it was in this one, where their diehard fans were rewarded with a win. Brayley, he ran down.
Oh, what about that?
The new Queensland fullback, Reece Walsh, the dreamy Reece Walsh. He's pretty dreamy.
What about the ice?
He ran 80 metres.
Hello, ladies.
Looked certain to score. Then a cracking tackle that has New South Wales very confident that they'll smash the little fella on Sunday. But then another 80-metre effort from Aitken saw the Warriors go to a 6-0 lead after 15, but that was all she wrote for the Warriors in a good win for the Knights in absolutely atrocious conditions.
The return to grade for Mitchell Pearce is the first step in what might be brighter days for the Knights. It was the former New South Wales Origin's first game alongside mid-season recruit Jake Clifford, and the two combined well with Pearce's structure, a good combination for Clifford's inventive play.
Yeah, they scored 10 points.
Add Kalen Ponga to the side, and the Knights will finally have a decent 1-6-7 for the first time in maybe, a decade?
Yeah, look, if they can get them all on the park at the same time, they'll probably go okay, the Knights, but That's been their problem all along.
They've got that culture of losing down there too.
They just can't get them. Just can't get them all on the park at the same time. But what I think should happen, New South Wales should name Mitchell Pearce in Game 3 of Origin when we will inevitably be 2-0 up, just to give him 2 series wins from 9 attempts. Do it, Freddie. Don't be weak.
St. George Illawarra Dragons came over the top of Canberra Raiders, which is their style, winning 22 points to 20. They came from behind. The Dragons came from behind, Sid, to beat the Canberra Faders in a ding-dong battle at Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable Oval. A late try by unwanted...
What does that mean?
A late try by unwanted 5'8", Corey Norman, snatched the win for the Dragons after the Faders at one stage led 20 points to 6 early in the second half.
They do that a lot, don't they?
The Dragons finished the game scoring 4 tries to 3 and saved NRL officials' embarrassment of needing to decide whether to strip 2 points from Canberra for the illegal use of 18th man Xavier Savage.
Yeah, one of the great debuts from this man.
I'm a savage.
Savage.
Is that WAP?
I don't know. It's from TikTok. It's a very big song on TikTok for me. Don't,
I think it's WAP.
Don't pretend you don't know.
I think it's WAP.
It was one of the great debuts from Savage. Mm. Don't know if it counts, though.
What about his dad, Randy? One of the great wrestlers.
Yeah, he was.
I think the Storm used him.
Yeah. Mm. But I don't know if it counts as a debut.
Right.
So it got me thinking 3 things. Has this ever happened before? Is this a result of Ned Philander's changing too many rules? And has this happened before? So I thought I would go to this guy to find out.
He's a stat man. It's Andrew Ferguson from Fergo and the Freak podcast and the Rugby League Project. How are you, mate?
Oh, good, mate. How you going?
Very well, thank you. Now, Xavier Savage, this guy.
I'm a savage.
He played 11 minutes in his debut game before being hooked when Sticky realised he was an illegal replacement. Does it still count?
He took the field, so it counts.
Has this happened before, or is this all Ned Philander's fault?
I know, we've got a few times this has happened in the past, dating back to the first incident, and probably the most famous one in 1917, when Dan Davies played for Glebe. During the residential rule, he was actually supposed to play for Annandale, because that's where he lived. But he ran out for Glebe instead, and that's who Glebe was playing that game. He ended up being banned for life because of that. So he went back to Newcastle, where he lived, and he went and played in their local comp. And when the New South Wales Rugby League found out about that, they banned almost every single player, club, and official in Newcastle for life as well.
No way!
yeah, and they eventually decided to overturn that rule in 1920, when Newcastle just went, well, bugger you, we'll just start our own rebel comp up, which they can't control.
Yeah, right. Hopefully we could get a Cronulla player to do something like that, and we can ban them for life. Has it happened any other times?
Yeah, so, I mean, it took nearly 60 years after that, but Mick Lubinskas from West in 1975, he scored a try for the Magpies to give them a draw against the Bulldogs. It was later found, though, that he was ineligible because he hadn't played any lower grades games. And so West lost their one competition point, which also then meant later on in the year they had to go in a 3-way playoff for 5th, where they lost to Parramatta and didn't get to play in the finals at all.
The poor old Magpies, they always get smashed. When else has it happened?
Round 3, 1992, Ken Jackson was an illegal 5th interchange player for Gold Coast in their 18-8 win over Illawarra. It was the Seagulls' first win in 16 games, but they had that stripped off them. Balmain the following year in round 19, they used 5 bench players as well in their 28-12 win over Penrith. Shane Boyd was the illegal player there. They lost their points then. Round 3, 1995, Joe Vunganar was used as a blood bin substitute by the Warriors. And they didn't realise at the time that blood bin replacements counted as standard interchanges. So he was the 5th bench player they used in that game, which is another win, 46-12 over the Magpies. So they lost those points as well.
Yeah, the Magpies never got those points though, did they?
No, it was unfair, that one.
Always sticking it to Wests.
And the only other two were... Round 4, 2000, the Cowboys had 14 men on the field for a 4-minute period during their 26-18 win over Parramatta.
Yep.
And in round 2, 2009, the Bulldogs' Andrew Ryan ranted the play after being replaced, which meant the Dogs had 14 players on the field, and the Bulldogs won that game. So they had their points docked on that one as well.
So you're saying it does happen, and it's not all Ned Philander's fault?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that, Andrew Ferguson. Now, are you coming to the live show on Saturday?
No, mate, I'm not going to be able to.
No, that's enough for me. He's a stat man. That was a stat man, Andrew Ferguson, former.
Yeah, it was. And, well, thanks very much to Fergo. And speaking of Hunts, Ben Hunt was witnessed his current 5'8 and fullback both be given their marching orders from the Red V. But the halfback hasn't let that perturb his form, particularly in this game, where anything positive from the Dragons could be linked back to the crafty number 7. Hunt finished with 100 running metres, 5 tackle busts, 2 line breaks, 2 line break assists and 2 try assists in a superb showing that will dead set put him in the frame, and did, for the Queensland Origin team.
Yeah, well, he's been named former. Ben Hunt is in the number 14 jersey for the winless Cane Toad side. They're desperate. They need a match winner. It's not going to be him. But he was fantastic in this game, Ben Hunt. I wish him all the best on Sunday. Then we laughed and laughed. But I tell you who was an absolute standout in this game, former, another debutant, Tyrell Sloan. Tyrell Sloan, he played 80 minutes, not 11, because Peter Griffin, he knows the rules. He debuted at fullback for the Dragons. Tyrell Sloan had 10 runs for 66 metres, 10 tackles, no line breaks, no line break assists, but did what any first grader worth his salt does nowadays. And he said this when interviewed after the game.
End of opportunity this week, and yeah, I'm trying to take it with both hands, and yeah, full credit to the boys, like just getting that win, so yeah.
Just all cliches and a full credit to the boys,
mate,
in there.
All of a sudden, he's rocketing into my top 5 favourite Sloanes. just behind the matron. The next game, well, what a game. Saw the Melbourne Storm beat the West Tigers 66 points to 16.
Whatever.
The opening set of this game, Sid, from the Storm, had the alarm bell sounding for the Tigers as they ran 90 metres off the kickoff, got a repeat set, and then scored from a dummy half barge over from the frantic Fetter.
Yeah,
it was 12-all. Sorry, it was 12-0. 12-all, we could dream. It was 12-0 after 6 minutes,
yeah,
and the first time the Tigers got hold of the ball was after 8 minutes of play. And they dropped that.
Yeah, I know.
And the Storm scored in the next set. And by the 12th minute, it was 18-0.
Yep.
And the Tigers had the Storm exactly where they wanted them. Unfortunately, from there, the Storm scored tries again in the 13th, 16th, 29th and 38th minute to lead 40-0 at the break.
I still thought we were a chance.
By halftime, it was 12 tries to 3 in an absolute wiping on the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, look,
sorry, by full-time, I should say.
Yeah, we knew what you meant. I wasn't really paying much attention. Before this game, the West Tigers looked like they weren't interested in the change rooms. They've been living at large at Noosa all week, drinking mocktails and having pool pony races up there, thinking they're world beaters since beating the Panthers 2 weeks ago and getting flogged by Parra last week. But whatever, let's live off the Panthers game. In this game, it was 18-0 to the Storm about 10 minutes in, and I thought, fuck this. So I tuned into the Friends reunion special instead, former.
Really?
Now, I was never a fan of the show back in the day.
It's still not.
Never really watched it. But I don't remember Matthew Perry looking as drug bloated back in the 90s. He looks dead set shocking.
He's got a real McGill look to him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, hasn't he blown up like a toad?
Wow. It's interesting.
Sure is.
There's so many things I want to say, but I shan't. Okay, go, keep talking.
If you ever wanted to see a coach absolutely livid with his team, the opportunity was there for you on Saturday night to see Madge Maguire collectively give his team a character reference after a diabolical first 40 minutes. Down 40 points to nil, Maguire addressed them for just 2 minutes before he stormed out of the dressing room and took all of his staff with him. After the game, Captain James Tamau was questioned on what the coach said at halftime, with Tamau claiming that he told us, "We got ourselves in this position, we can dig our own way out of it." This week, they finished with 37 missed tackles, and last week against the Eels, they finished with 48. So they're getting better.
It was terrible. Like, I know the show ended in 2004, nearly 20 years ago, but geez, they haven't aged well. Botox galore with Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. Like, Ross, I don't know if you remember him. He wasn't much chop even back then. He still isn't. Lisa Kudrow, she goes all right, I guess, but even she seemed to feel uncomfortable about around Matthew Perry. It was shocking scenes. Still better than watching West versus Storm, though. It's all Vallandi's fault. No one wants to see a blowout. I keep saying it, especially Joey. Have you seen Joey? He's had a blowout. No, he's put on some kegs.
No one wants to see a blowout or a bloat.
It happens to the best of us.
Tell us about Matthew Perry again.
Smells of urine. Still better than watching the round of NRL this week, though.
His own or someone else's?
Who knows? He's not even sure.
Is he a trough boy?
He didn't even know where he was.
Sunday saw the Parramatta Eels far too strong for the Canterbury Bulldogs, 36 points to 10.
Oh, it was a close one.
Parramatta started slow with a 65% completion rate in the opening 40 minutes, but blew the Bulldogs off the park to win their 12th game of the year.
Sure did.
The Dogs went to the Sheds at halftime up 10 points to 6 with Trent Barrett crying tears of joy, but spent much of the second half missing tackles and standing underneath their own goalposts watching Mitchell Moses converting tries as the Eels went on a 5-try blitz and put Trent Barrett in the fetal position.
Yeah, Bulldogs' mistake saw a lucky try from Dum Dum Madison. He opened the scoring for the Eels in the 7th minute, but then the Doggies bounced back with a try to Dylan Napa. All the big stars were scoring tries this week from a similar mistake.
The old solo boxer.
It was a similar mistake by para winger Hayes Dumpster Fire, and a try to Katoa for the Dogs in the 39th minute saw them somehow leading at the break. But then, as you say, a blitz from the Eels in the second half saw them put on 30 points and blow away the Doggies in the end. The penalty try to Mitch Moses, always welcome on the show, Mitch, summed up how well the Doggies are going, as the ball was like passed and it just hit Dylan Napa on his shoulder, went to ground. Then the Benny Hill theme started around Wankbest Stadium. Mitch Moses swooped. He was held back. Penalty try. And it was all over from there for the poor old Doggies.
Apparently at halftime, B. Arthur walked into the Sheds and said, "You got yourselves into this position. I don't know what else to say."
It worked in this case.
Young Eels winger Sean Russell scored 2 tries late in the game to make a wonderful debut. Replacing veteran Blake Ferguson, old Dick Fingers, Russell was mobbed by teammates and then family and friends after the game after he finished with 95 running metres, 2 tackle busts, 2 line breaks and 2 tries.
Yeah, it was a great debut for the young fella. He just needs to drop a full credit to the boys in his next interview. To be considered a
It'll be his last interview, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. To be considered a true superstar of the game and maybe get his own jingle. Who knows? The Eels were just too good after a slow start. The stats tell the tale in this one, former. The Dogs missed twice as many tackles as the Eels, 27 to 13. Para had 5 line breaks to 1. They ran for 1,830 metres to the Dogs' 1,280.
Jesus.
This was a solid win for the Eels.
I don't want to say this too early, but...
No.
The only reason... You wouldn't think that Parramatta could win the comp.
What do you think?
Is dead set.
Yeah.
The one knock that you could probably say on Parramatta is that...
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
It was worth hanging in for.
The long way around to get to that joke.
Well, they tried to hide this game and Gold Coast wished they had of when Manly Seagulls blew the Titans off the park, winning 56 points to 24.
Another close one. Well done, Philanders.
Just 24 hours earlier, the Tigers were being rightly mocked for hemorrhaging 40 points and a half. But the Titans said, "Hold my beer," as they watched the Seagulls cross for 48 unanswered second half points to humiliate the Gold Coast team up there at Crazy Horse Stadium. And just 24 hours earlier, Sid, the Raiders were mocked for handing up a 14-point lead, an effort the Gold Coast labelled as amateurs. The Titans went from a 24 points to 6 halftime lead and looked in absolute control before a manly blitz crossed for 9 tries to blow them out of the water. It was an extraordinary second 40 minutes from the Seagulls, and the week off for the Gold Coast couldn't come early enough.
Yeah, this is another shithouse game of football. No one wants to see this shit. It was a whole round of rubbish. But having said that, every time Tommy Turbo gets the ball, he dead set looks like scoring. Remember at the beginning of the season...
I was going to say he dead set looks like Matthew Perry. I was going to say, well, I don't think so. He's blown up the Lux. He's bought a Greek restaurant. He's moved to Cremorne. And he's spending his time in the boot of a car.
How dare you ask questions? How dare you ask questions?
Well, why would you ask that question?
Hey, I'm outraged. This is outrageous.
Mate, I'll sit down and talk to you, but don't ask weird questions. Well, that's a bad question.
Anyway, let's move on. Remember at the beginning of the season?
The evil Stefanovic.
Remember at the beginning of the season? When you and I said, what are Manly going to do? They're rubbish. What do they think they're going to do? Just rely on one player to get them through the season? Well, fuck me. That's it. That's exactly what they're doing. And they are doing it unbelievably well. What a bizarre game of footy.
Thankfully, the Titans' Reuben Garrick didn't bring his kicking boots, landing just 6 from 11. Unfortunately, he crossed for 4 individual tries, 3 of those off the back of an assist from Turbo Tom Trbojevic.
He's done it again, Turbo.
The fullback playing centre finished with 3 tackles, 4 try assists, 149 running metres, 46 post contact, 2 line breaks, 7 tackle busts, and 2 of his own tries.
And if you captained him, 402 super coach points. This kid can do everything.
Even I'm impressed by that.
Exactly. But we knew as soon as he came back, they'd be all good. An incredible game yet again from Tommy Turbo. He takes hit-ups like...
8 weeks in a row, this bloke has dead set won games for him, and it's 8 weeks in a row, I've said this. Find that bloke to beat him in that race in the Corso.
Imagine how good that bloke goes.
Just on the outside of him.
Like Tommy Turbo, he takes hit-ups like a forward. He runs great lines. He's a big dude. He's got pace. And he was just unstoppable in this one. The Sea Eagles.
Would you call him Dreamy?
No. No. He's got a lot of things going for him.
It looks like he's been removed from his mother's womb by his ears.
It was dead set.
Some lug nuts on you, let's be honest.
He was dead set unstoppable in this one. But get this, former. The Sea Eagles have now put 50 points on all the Queensland teams. The Titans, the Cowboys 50-18, the Broncos 50-6. But they've also had 40-point losses to the Panthers and the Roosters. It's a shithouse competition this year. It's all your fault, Ned.
Well, if you want to see a club unravelling...
You stop dropping shit.
If you want to
You've
see
had too many Woodstock bourbons yet again.
They don't pay for themselves either, these bastards.
P.O. Box 4166 Oatley West, 2223.
Sensitive stuff. If you want to see a club unravelling, well, just head north to Brisbane and watch the Brisbane Broncos, who are dead set falling apart. Kevin Walters is facing a player revolt.
Who knew this would happen?
A bombshell report from the Courier-Mail suggesting players are offside with the club legend's man management. They claim that players are increasingly frustrated with Walters' coaching style after a difficult start to his NRL coaching tenure. Who knew? Fox Sports report that Kevin Walters said on Thursday night that everyone is in the firing line, and it seems that he wasn't being dramatic, with Broncos head of football, Peter Nolan, among the senior officials that have been reportedly axed.
Not Pete.
Brisbane. How many tackles did he miss on Friday night? Exactly. It was embarrassing. Brisbane went down to South Sydney in a humiliating 46-0 loss on home turf. A dejected Walters revealed afterwards that a major review was underway. What is it? Winners have parties and losers have reviews. and everyone from staff to officials were under the microscope. Nolan was involved with the club for years, but he was promoted to head of football in 2019 when Anthony Seibold took over as coach from Wayne Bennett. Now, in an interview with Daily Telegraph's alleged journalist, Phil Rothfield, Kevin Walters opened up on the decision to let Rhys Walsh go out the door and go to the Warriors. The 18-year-old, who was named for the Queensland side this week, quit for the Warriors, taking a $1.2 million deal and becoming one of the stars of the game within a matter of a few weeks. He was on $60,000 at the Broncos.
Wow.
Actually, this is where alleged journalist Phil Rothfield said this. We'll just go with the audio. he was on 50, 60 grand at the Broncos, Kenty. You know, he's gone to the Warriors and he's getting $100,000 for the rest of this year. I said to Kevy, why didn't you keep him, Kevy? Why didn't you keep him? Walters thought Walsh needed at least half a dozen more games in the Queensland Cup. Now, credit to Kev, because that's what we do here in the media. He stuck his hand up and admitted it was his call. Walters has since seen the club lose Tom Dearden and Xavier Coates under his tenure and had to fight tooth and nail to keep Brendan Piakura.
Yeah, they're sacking everyone up there in Brisbane, but really, they only need to sack one person to save a lot of time. They had Walsh, the dreamy young fella, Walsh.
What about those eyes?
Under contract for $60,000 this year, Kevy comes out and says in this hard-hitting interview with Buzz Rothfield,
He thought that
he needed 6 to 12 more games in Queensland Cup, which they could have allowed him to do on his $60,000 contract.
Right. He was there
and see how he goes. Now he's gone to the Warriors, played 7 games, and is going to get absolutely poleaxed on Sunday, but in a Maroons jersey.
If you want to hear a bullshit interview where blokes are dead set flogging a bloke with a wet lettuce leaf, have a listen to Triple M on Sunday when Paul Kent and hard-hitting James Hooper went to town on Kevy Walters and asked him about the player revolt that was allegedly being reported on up there and a couple of other things. And dead set, given that only a couple of weeks ago, Kenty went on the attack mode to Clint Newton. I don't know where attack mode was on Kevy Walters, his mate, because one of the things Kevy Walters said, which actually only drove off the road when I heard this, he said, Kenty, you've got to remember, we've lost this year all our experience. We've lost Jack Bird. We've lost Andrew McCulloch. Who was the other one he said? Oh, we've lost someone else. And then he said, "We Tom Dearden left us." All the players he named, they let go. He let go.
Yep.
They didn't lose them. No one came from underneath them and signed them.
Correct.
The only one they've lost is Sam Walker. Good choice. So Kenty and Hooper to sit there on their hands and say nothing about, hang on, you didn't lose them.
Yep.
You let them go.
It's unbelievable. He was also interviewed on SEN radio, but nobody heard it.
No. for coming out and then say that, you know, this Reece Walsh and saying he's the bigger man and he'll put his hand up. What freaking choice did he have to put his hand up and say that he left on because of him?
No, couldn't agree more. Disgraceful.
I've never seen blokes go easier on a bloke. And as the only bloke I've heard in the last 7 days actually have a crack at Walters and go, mate, I don't know, is Matthew Johns of all people, who said, and I'll paraphrase him here, they have not improved. They've gone backwards under Kevin Walters. And they have. And they're a long way from rebuilding.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be a quick fix. This is not going to be a couple of players and we'll be right again.
But did you
see?
This
is now a 5 to 6 year problem.
The same journalists put out today the top 17 players that West Tigers have let go.
Oh, the same journalists, by the way, have come out and said that it's time for the players and the player revolt up there at Brisbane to stop.
Mm.
Funnily enough, this time last year, it wasn't player revolt, and it wasn't players out of line. It was a coach who couldn't handle them and had lost the dressing room.
Absolutely.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, they do.
Has he lost the dressing room?
Yeah, well,
isn't that the same thing?
He sometimes can't find the dressing room.
Well, mate, I think he named the dressing room at 5'8 there at one stage.
So, Got to mix it up in the halves now and again.
Jesus Christ, I mean, fair dinkum.
I know.
It irritates the shit out of me.
Much like we knew that Manly were going to struggle at the beginning of the season, we tipped this one. 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
A big blow for New South Wales with Jake Trbojevic being ruled out of Origin 2 with a hip pointer injury, Sid. There it is there. He picked up the injury at training but will likely be available for Origin 3. If he's picked, Jake Trbojevic won't be available for State of Origin. He's got an injury at training. Freddie Fittler told Channel 9. Apparently Des Hasler fell off his chair because he didn't want anyone to know before he named his side. One of the hard conversations was speaking to Jakey about him getting an injury. He'll be available for next game, so we won't be out for too long. There are just a few playing this weekend, but Angus Crichton did a terrific job for us last year. He's also played a lot of middle too, so that versatility helps. Just on that,
yes,
they named Crichton in a 20-man squad and Dale Finucane.
The West Tigers bound.
Mate, just throw the checkbook at him. Throw the checkbook
at
him.
Let's hope so.
And for the Maroons, Kalen Ponga was ruled out of Origin 2 after failing to recover from a groin injury in time.
They're going to get smashed, the Maroons.
Game 2, 2021. Queensland are on the ropes and we head to Fat Horse Stadium in front of 50,000 cousins. Can the Penrith Blues win?
Let's get it on!
Yeah, game two, Sunday night. And Blues fans, I give you your New South Wales team at fullback, James Tedesco. Wing, Brian Tuttle.
Full credit to the boys' very own.
In the centres is the best fullback playing centre, Latrell Mitchell. On the other centre is Turbo Tom Trbojevic, probably the best player in the game right now. Josh Adakar is at wing. Jerome Luai is in 5'8". Nathan Cleary still is in halfback. The forwards for the Blues, Daniel Saifidi is in the 8. Damien Cook is in the 9.
The big sprinter.
Junior Paulo is in the 10. Cameron Murray plays second row with Tarek Sims, who had a blinder in the first game, it must be said. Isaiah Yeo is the lock. The interchange has Jack Wyden, Angus Crichton, Payne Haas and Liam Martin. We've got three reserves in Appy Korosau, Campbell Graham and Dale Finucane. I really was hoping Finucane would play, but other than that...
I was really hoping you were calling Finucane, but whatever.
I really like the Blues
side.
Here
we are. Yeah, me too.
I think they're, once again, well-balanced. I like the combinations we have.
I'm biased deluxe, but that looks like a good squad.
Yep, and I think the...
read out the rubbish team.
The Queensland team. Well, I tell you what, if you want to talk about a bit parts bin team,
yeah,
we start at fullback with Reece Walsh.
Dreamy.
Dead set. Will have to have a big game and then hope someone buys him a beer at the end of the game because he won't be let him go and buy his own.
Do you reckon he wears eye makeup?
I don't know.
Can't be natural.
John Morris has even said he's got dreamy eyes.
Uh-huh.
Valentine Holmes goes back to the wing. Kurt Capewell
dreamy.
Is in the centres.
Wow.
Dane Gagai. Kyle Felt is in the wing on the other side. Cameron Munster is in the 6, who was very quiet in game 1, it must be said. Dally Tree Evans is in the 7, who was also quiet.
Up until then, geez, they got a better looking team than us.
Yeah, that's right. Up until the neck. The forwards, we see Christian Welch, who comes back from an HIA. He's in the front row alongside Josh Papali'i. Andrew McCulloch is playing in hooker. Jai Arrow is in the second row, although he's in hospital tonight.
They've gone off too early.
Yep.
Chucking someone in hospital.
Felici Kafusi.
It's only Tuesday.
Kafusi is in the 12. Tino Fasu-Malawi is the lock. The interchange sees Ben Hunt. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Mauka Fotuaki is...
Fotuaka?
Whatever. He's in on the interchange, as is David Fifita, the good Fifita. And Francis Smelly, who's the last interchange. They also have the reserves of the cyborg Cohen Hesk and Ronaldo, the soccer player.
There's only one Ronaldo.
The ins are interesting, but more importantly, the outs. I think Queensland have made a huge error in not naming the only Tiger in the game, Joe Offa-Hangawi from game 1.
He'd be fresh.
That's a miss. He'd be fresh. He hasn't made a tackle for a couple of weeks.
Nope.
Sydney.
Yes.
What do we think?
Look, we'll give more.
Oh, do you want to talk about Bluebet?
Oh, yeah, Bluebet. So special they've got.
Bluebet have a special, mainly for full credit of the boys, listeners. So if you hear this, they've got an Origin special of $4 for Turbo Tommy to score a try.
Money for jam.
And New South Wales to win between 2 to 50 points.
That is a good bet. $4. I'll be on that.
I have a bit of that myself.
Well, now I've said I'll be on it.
Yeah, well, you've stopped it.
You all should probably avoid
Tom,
it.
Tom will pull up lame.
Look, normally we do more in-depth analysis on this game, but we're going to do that on Saturday at live show. So if you don't have tickets, go to fullcreditpodcast.com. Gladys Berejiklian, is that how you say it? Not sure that's how you say it. Has said that it'll go ahead. If you don't have tickets, then you're not going to hear our analysis. So I'll just give you a little bit of time here that you can insert your own analysis. Yeah, I think a lot of that's true.
I think that's very well said. Just one final thing. Can I just give a shout out to a touch judge who's making his Origin debut? Good luck to NRL Physio out there. running the lines. Congratulations.
Well done.
Can't wait to see him. I mean,
go look that up on the NRL site. Dead set ringer.
Rangy, I think you said.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Full credit to the boys.
We'll finish off with the rest of the NRL news, Sid. And, David Fifita has been urged to mix up his game, with league legends saying the $1.2 million Titans back rower could be pigeonholed as a one-trick pony. Fifita scored his first try in five games in the first half on the weekend and ran for 137 metres, including six tackle busts. In the second half, Fifita had just one tackle bust and 29 metres as the Titans capitulated, and it led to Balmain legend Steve Roach to urge Fifita to change the way he played the game. The big thing is that with the... I shouldn't do that to blocker. The big thing with these sort of players like Fifita is that eventually when your career goes on, you can't be a one-trick pony. Former Manly prop and full credit boys' very own Mark Carroll said that after struggling against Manly, Fifita would have to up his performance if he were to keep hold of his Maroons jumper.
If you want to hear more of what Spud has to say...
Yes,
fullcreditpodcast.com.
He's doing his job, but the game goes for 80 minutes, Carroll said. He could have aimed up a bit harder in the second half. His first half was incredible, but he's a smart player who is running at tiny blokes all the time.
Well, he should be running at the tiny blokes. Why not?
Yeah. And the final story, no, one of the final stories this week, from alleged journalist from the Daily Telegraph, Phil Rothfield, who said that Cronulla Sharks front rower Andrew Fifita has become one of the most overpaid players in rugby league history.
Oh, it's just a Fifita fest, isn't it?
We can today reveal, he says, that Fifita has earned an outrageous $18,000 per minute in the NRL this year for 31 minutes of football.
Hang on, we found the smart Fifita.
He made 15 tackles and 95 metres. This is the sort of money that would even make an English Premier League superstar blush. It wouldn't. Between rounds 1 and 9, the 31-year-old player played, front rower, I should say, played for Newtown but got suspended for 3 weeks for a crusher tackle. He played 18 minutes in round 10 of the NRL against the Rabbitohs and did his hamstring and missed 2 games. Fifita is not up for the new demands, he says, this says Buzz, mobility required for front rowers under the new rules. He is a gain on $850,000 next year. No other clubs are interested. There is a hard call that needs to be made. What's the hard call?
I think it's pretty simple, but who would pick up Fifita?
No one.
Talking about that Fifita, the rich Fifita, not the, the good Fifita.
Not the B&E Fifita.
Do you think we could see a reunion of Fifita and Aaron Woods back at the Tigers next year?
Jesus. Surely not.
We're in a rebuild.
Honestly,
yeah.
If
hit me,
the Sharks were going to pay $400, and you had to pay $450. Is he a buy?
No.
If the Sharks are paying $600, and you got to pay $250, is he a buy?
If they paid $950, I'd have a glance. Remember when Fifita left the Tigers? He's like, it was bullshit there. They had two different lots of facilities. They had a dressing room for the superstars and a shit dressing room for the rest of us. And Robbie Farah came out and said, they're the reserve grade dressing rooms you're in. I don't think there's a return to the Tigers at any cost.
Dallin Watene Zalesniak's move to the Warriors is complete after being farewelled with a haka by Canterbury teammates. DWZ, told Bulldogs players in the sheds after their 36-10 loss to Parramatta he'd played his last game for the NRL club. That prompted an impromptu haka in the sheds at Bankwest Stadium, led by Bulldogs welfare manager Luke Goodwin. The Kiwi captain has signed a 3.5-year deal with the Warriors as part of a mid-season merry-go-round of NRL talent. Joaquin Zalesniak's exit also comes as part of a backline overhaul at the Bulldogs, freeing up further cap space with Josh Adakar, Brent Naden and Matt Burton arriving in 2022.
Yeah, they're buying a lot of backs out there.
Must be happy with their forwards.
Yeah, which troubles me somewhat. But this was emotional scenes at the Bulldogs, seeing off DWZ with a haka, impromptu, they say, but it was planned about 5 days ago. But whatever. But yeah, it was very emotional scenes. Trent Barrett is still crying.
Johnson, a step back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be our final goal.
Sports News.
AFL. And strap yourself in for a big story.
Finally, the real game.
Hashtag talk other games down.
They have close games in the AFL.
Since the mid-2000s.
Volandis can't even cock this up.
Just concentrate.
Okay.
Since the mid-2000s, Hawthorn have been playing regular games in Launceston.
Got it.
And developed a strong following as part of a long-running deal with the Tasmanian state government. But Tasmanians are over being given a pat on the head by the AFL and given half a dozen games per year. They are demanding their own team. And on Sunday, they watch their home team face Essendon. The Essendon Syringes, and it looked, felt and looked like the Bombers, the Syringes, were the home team. Every hawk clanger was greeted with Bronx cheers.
Oh, wow.
Every touchy umpire call drew jeers. The Bombers got over the line in front of a COVID-safe sold-out crowd of 14,000 at UTAS Stadium and proved Tassie's heart pumps for footy when the Satyrs offered an engrossing clash. This game was played 24 hours after North Melbourne and Brisbane attracted just 5,000 fans for a Saturday twilight game at Hobart's Bluntstone Arena. 6 days earlier, only 3,000 people attended the Kangaroos-Giants match. So anti-Tassie team people could look at the attendances of those two games and use that as an argument against a Tasmanian expansion.
Yep.
But Tasmanian fans want their own team and are voting with their feet and their mouths. North Melbourne great David King has called for the AFL to consider relocating the Gold Coast Suns to Tasmania. Wouldn't that be a turn-up? Amid another disappointing season for this East Coast-based club. After getting belted by Port Adelaide by 50 points on Saturday, the Suns slumped to a 4-9 record for the season to slide below Collingwood in the 16th position, all but ruling out finals for 2021. It would mark the 11th straight season in the club's history that they've missed the postseason, having not finished higher than a 12th since entering the AFL in 2011.
Look, you'd hate to see the Gold Coast Suns get punted. The Gold Coast has such a rich history of great sporting teams thriving there, former. In the NRL, we've had the Gold Coast, Tweed, Heads, Giants, Seagulls, Gladiators, Chargers, now the Titans. In the AFL, we've had the Gold Coast Bears, backed by Christopher Skase, that moved to Brisbane and then eventually merged and became the Brisbane Lions. Now the Gold Coast Suns, going to have to move to Tassie.
You had the Gold Coast Rollers basketball team.
Well, they had the Gold Coast United soccer team backed by Clive Palmer.
That didn't what go. Is it with dusty businessmen backing teams on the Gold Coast?
Didn't go so good. Basketball has seen the Gold Coast Cougars, the Rollers and the Blaze. You've seen some Gold Coast Cougars in your time, former. Rugby Union had the East Coast Aces. That sounds like a Raylene Castle plan, that one. They were shit. Baseball had the Clippers, the Dolphins. Ran out of name, so they used the Cougars again. And ice hockey had a team there.
What? Called,
yep, ice hockey. They were thriving on the Gold Coast for about a season. Their team was called the Blue Tongues. Didn't last. Let's just hope that the Suns survive former and drain the AFL of all their funds.
The Blue Tongues, or as that's the nickname they used to give the Smurfette. AFL. Sydney's battlers, the Swans, were given a well-deserved week off, while the AFL money pit, the GWS capstock Giants, hammered the Carlton underbellies.
Yeah, GWS laid 37 more tackles, and proven tagger Matt DeBoer limited the influence of Carlton's midfield big guns Sam Walsh and Patrick Cripps, though each won 11 contested possessions former. But the capstock Giants had more weaponry up forward and kicked 5 of the last 6 goals, for a good win, 102-66. 102-66 is the only bit of that I understood.
Mate, whereabouts are the Giants on the table now?
They're like midfield.
Are they? And who have they got the next few weeks?
They got a bye.
Yep.
Next week.
Have they? Another one. They won last week.
I don't know.
And how many players have they got in Origin?
I don't know.
Strongman.
I don't know any of this.
Tom Stoltman is the new world's strongest man after beating the legendary Brian Shaw in a dramatic Atlas Stones showdown.
It was dramatic.
Atlas Stones, which was your nickname at the school. The Scot, 27, claimed his first ever crown in front of a packed crowd in Sacramento, California on Sunday. The behemoth, who stands an incredible 6'8", had to overcome four-time winner Shaw in Sunday's grand finale. The American laid down a marker by breaking his own keg toss record with a throw of 7.75 metres.
That's a good keg toss.
But Stoltman, who holds the world's record for the heaviest Atlas stone ever lifted at 630 pounds, 286 kilos.
Yep.
Fuck, that's heavy in other news. That's about four fridges. Ultimately triumphed in his favourite strongman event. The Brit also had the world record in the quickest time to lift all five stones, finishing in just 16.01 seconds at Britain's Strongest Man in January 2020.
This was a close run thing.
This was
a spectacle. There was a crowd there. The ratings were up and it was close. Everything that rugby league is not, former. Give me a keg toss and pick up some stones. And then play the Friends reunion afterwards.
Boxing. Paul Gallen showed Justice Hooney how to sell a fight. Then in Sydney on Wednesday night, Hooney showed him how to fight. The 22-year-old, this is from the Fox Sports, by the way, 22-year-old Australian heavyweight champion, now at 5-0, was at another level and eventually found a finish in the 10th round against the too tough for his own good Paul Gallen, who is now 11-1-1. Gallen suffered his first career defeat. Gallen promised he would charge forward at every opportunity. He'd fill the lulls in every round, tire out his giant rival. It all sounded good in theory. In the end, he never really came close to doing any of it. Hooney punished the body for nearly 30 minutes before going upstairs to find a finish that looked there for the taking at times. After the fight, Gallen revealed the extent of the damage. He said, "He knocked me down fair and square. I think he broke my rib in the second round."
You got to give props to him. Breaking a rib in the second round and still making it to the 10th. He did get knocked down, but this was actually a good fight for once.
They said that Hooney went upstairs to finish it off,
yeah.
Which is what I do every week up in your ensuite upstairs. It's the best I could do.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, it's time for the number one podcasting segment in all of the world of podcasting, including all the ones on the stamps from the Australian Post.
Yeah.
It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab the Mirrors. Thanks to the fellas up there at NDF Electrical. Don't forget, you can reply to my tweet around 7:30 on a Tuesday. Use the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. Then I just have one around 3:30, sometimes 4. Sometimes I get crazy and wild and do it around 4:30.
Sometimes 3 a.m.
Again.
You're totally cocking up.
Hashtag GAM or hashtag Grab a Mirror.
Has to have those hashtags. There's been a few stray ones coming through and people just yell at them.
Not anymore.
It's no good. Can I go first for a change?
Mate, it's been so long I thought you'd never ask.
Yeah, I just know my place. But I'm going to go first this week. Grab a mirror, you magnificent bastard, James Packer.
Yep.
He's been spotted out on his boat recently, former. Now, last time I took my tinny out, I had the singer in my band, Camos. And me mate Matt, we went out for the day. Matt caught a monster flatty under Captain Cook Bridge. It was a monster. We had some cans. It was a great day out. But sorry, boys, I would drop you both in a heartbeat to hang out with old mate James Packer. Sure, his boat is a little better than mine. Mine's a pissy little tinny. His is a $200 million super yacht called IJE. I would call my super yacht IGA. Never thought of that. But his guests on board, they put you guys, Camos and Maddie, to absolute shame. My new best friend.
Your best friends.
My new Freudian slip. My new best friend, hopefully James Packer, has been spied for.
Hasn't he got some boobies?
He's been spied in the waters off Mykonos, playing host to three top European lifestyle bloggers and social media influencers and models.
Kerry will be so happy.
Maya Malna, Nera Lessig, and Mom Mickey. Who are they, you ask? Who cares? They are hot as fuck. There's photos of them doing yoga on the deck in their skimpy bikinis. They're jumping up and down with a skipping rope and their boobies are bouncing up and down. They're sunning themselves half naked and drinking champagne. My mate Matt turned up to go fishing in high-vis waders, for fuck's sake, with nothing underneath. Weirdo. The big unit, James Packer. And he is a big unit for me.
Has blown up deluxe.
Wow.
Someone called him the second best spinner in Australia.
On the same diet, the big unit, James Packer.
Be a fair-sized boot to get Jimmy in.
What is your diet, James Packer? How dare you ask me that question? I can't believe you asked me that
question.
Put
him in the boot of a car, he'd use a shoehorn.
Anyway.
Trying to put five of your missus' suitcases in the back before you're heading overseas. Get in there. Shut the... You'd use an hockey cap strapped on. Hold the boot lid down, would you?
All right, the big fella, James Packer, well, hopefully my new best friend, has recently been investigated into his fitness to operate a casino, but his fitness or otherwise didn't seem to worry his three Insta model influencer girlfriends, who each describe themselves, get this, as encouraging a healthy diet and lifestyle or a fuck-off big healthy bank balance and a big fuck-off boat. They're the keys to a happy life in no particular order, it seems. Go and have a look at the photos, former. I know Beer Boy will. I'll talk to you on Saturday about that, Beer Boy. Some dead set sorts.
But one of Jimmy's rules is Jimmy Packers, no matter what crowd he's in, he's always going to have the biggest boobs. And on Saturday, once again... Signed off on that.
You need
big is he?
You need a big boat when he skips rope. We're listening again. Jimmy, just do some Pilates. Lay down. Have a nap.
He uses the winch to skip rope.
Anyway, that's me best mate you're talking about.
I'm not saying he's overweight, but when he's doing skipping rope, the captain of the ship said, can you just stand in the middle? Whatever you do, don't lean to one side.
Anyway, I'm not fat shaming you, bro. Love you. Take me out in your $200 million boat.
Mate.
Strap me in. Let's catch some flatties under Captain Cook Bridge.
At least Rusty Crow can always say, oh, I'm just fattening up for a roll. He's fattened up because of a roll. About 40 of them. Sausage rolls, mainly. How big is he?
Yeah, I get it. Mate, he's big.
He's shadowed way 5 kilos.
Anyway, go grab a mirror, you magnificent bastard, James Packer. Make it one of those Luna Park ones that make you look slim.
Jesus.
Sure, Jimmy. I call him Jimmy now that you just did. Sure, Jimmy, life isn't all about dating supermodels and being a billionaire. Says people who don't date supermodels and are billionaires.
Jeez,
wow.
I remember when him and Mariah split up, they said, geez, Jimmy dodged a bullet. She dodged a cannonball.
Anyway, love you, Jimmy. I'm free most weekends to go fishing, skip rope. We'll do whatever you want, man. We'll eat sausage rolls.
Sun our perineums, whatever it is.
Get some influences. Catch a flatty or two. Compare breast size.
10. Fucking fat prick. At Pasha Bulka says, he put a story in from James Hooper, who's put a story out tonight saying NRL Chief Executive Andrew Abdo personally telephoned ex-NRL referees boss Bernard Sutton with a warning ahead of State of Origin 2. Step aside from the Queensland Maroons, because he's helping them out,
yep,
or risk your brother not refereeing game two.
Ooh.
And Pasha Bulka says, hashtag grab a mirror, James Hooper again for failing to understand what nepotism really is. Hashtag germo, hashtag no reward for effort.
Good point.
9.
At Dingo H2, grab a mirror, Rona restrictions. I've got flights booked, a hotel reservation, a powerful thirst saved up and ready to go. They better not try to stop the at FCTTB underscore podcast live show or there'll be riots in the street. Hashtag drinking through a mask.
Well, rest easy, Dingo. I put out some tweets today. We are good to go, my friend. I'll see you there.
8.
At Ben Pugsley says, grab a mirror, Barnaby, you magnificent bastard. I mean, except for the sex pest stuff and the drunkenness and sitting illegitimately in Parliament. But at least you're back now and we get to hear the soundbite again. So you want to be a champion.
Yes! It's back, baby.
7.
At Daniel J. Brown 79. Grab a mirror at former underscore legend and at Sid Punts.
Hey.
For having so many open Woodstocks last week and then spilling them all. Hashtag no double parking. Hashtag was going to say no DP. Hashtag, but can't say that. Well, you can.
Yeah, we've had a couple of shockers. You belched on air a couple of weeks ago. Your pet hate is when they get on
Triple M
on commercial radio and you can hear them chewing. And there's you just belching like Packer on the deck of his boat.
6.
Lean over
a chair. No more.
Lean over a chair and one of the models slap him on the back, burping him. At Supercoach Baz. Hashtag grab a mirror at Fox NRL, put him in it. How bad is NRL 360 going? Ben Eichen has chose to go to the at Brisbane Broncos rather than hang out with Buzz, Kent and Hooper. Hashtag the Three Stooges, hashtag Wooden Spooners.
It's a very good point.
5.
At PLV Anon, Peter Volandis, Anonymous. Grab a mirror, millennials. Stop whinging about housing affordability when you have SBS on demand. If you applied the same time we had to waste watching soccer just to get a glimpse of titty in French film to working a second job, you'd be able to afford that Sydney shoebox too.
Exactly.
4.
Stop whinging. What do you got for us?
At BJ O'Rosenberg, the old timber voice.
Rosie.
Hashtag grab a mirror, BJ O'Rosenberg. And then he said, put him in it. You utter moron. What were you thinking going to that Swedish maze IKEA at any time, let alone on a rainy Sunday? Hashtag shithole. Hashtag didn't buy anything. Isn't hashtag it? Never again. Hashtag prefer to be punched in the face.
Yeah, it's no good.
3.
At Mr. Barjas. Hashtag grab a mirror at Hungry Jack's AU. Put him in it.
Whoa.
When I'm the only customer in your place, how the fuck do your staff manage to fuck up a bacon and egg McMuffin? Well, it's not McMuffin. is there a course they do to not cook half of it, then overcook the bacon another half so it's as hard as a hockey puck? Hashtag, the egg was okay.
That's putrid, eh? You go to all the effort to go through a drive-thru and they serve up that.
Oh, and they park you for 20 minutes anyway.
Annoys you.
2.
I've got a good story about something that happened the other... I might tell you that off air and we might run it on Saturday. Hashtag grab a mirror says the biggest faloo. AstraZeneca haters. The side effects are great. My breasts were already growing, but now my areolae are magnificent. The hair on my balls is now like steel wool and cleans the bowl whenever I take a dump. But best of all, since vaccination, the eels have not had Ashley Klein. Hashtag flushed.
A lot of thought went into that.
1.
I don't want to think about it too much. You're pretty stoked with this, eh? You haven't told me what it is.
At NRL for breakfast. Hashtag grab a mirror at two men in a truck. Do you know who they are?
No.
They're a removalist mob. They're
okay.
Basically two men in a truck.
Yeah, clever name.
Hashtag grab a mirror at two men in a truck. You could be the only suspects for kidnapping Stewie McGill. No one else could pick him up. Hashtag fat flipper.
Since you read that tweet about 25 minutes ago, you have not stopped laughing.
Hashtag run restaurants, not eat at them.
Very good. That was number one this week.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, bucks or hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
Let's do this, Sid.
Roll the sound. Open the sound. Empty the sound. The boy is sad.
The boy sack mail and feedback time, Sid, and I have got a full sack of letters.
Good, good, good.
Letter one comes from a bloke by the name of Ben Eichen. Hi, former and Sid. A lot of people have questioned my decision to leave a successful show like NRL 360 and join a dysfunctional organisation like the Broncos. But the truth is, Ray bullied me into it. Take care. Love, Ben.
Thanks, Benny.
This next one's from Jack from Wollongong. I don't know anyone from down that way. Do you know anyone there?
Nope.
Hi, guys. I just want to say a big thanks to the rugby league community for the support I've received since returning to the field. Everyone's been very encouraging, and even Coach Griffin said it's great to see me having some nice touches for a change. Thanks again, Jack.
Oh, that's nice. I love a redemption story.
The next one's from Mick Fanning, the great man. Hi, gents. I watched that fight the other night, and while I think Hooney was very good, he's not the first bloke to punch three shades of shit out of a shark. Has lots of love, Mick.
Very good.
Finally, this one from a guy named TB. Hi, Sid and former. Long-time listener, first-time mailer. I thought it prudent to reply to your ever-so-insightful Hasler chat in last week's podcast. However, I know there were a few glaring, obvious omissions. Number one, Hasler is coaching the team that I built. Number two, I was recruited by an immortal and hence the team responded in like. Three, I supplied the chairs. Four, they love a challenge and being coached by Dez would be a challenge. Also, I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but their attacking style is very similar to that of the Panthers,
yep,
which suggests the same attacking coach, wouldn't you think?
That's very true.
Anyway, keep up the good work. Up the mighty Illawarra Bulldogs. Yours in NRL, TB. P.S. Brad McKay and I are great mates, although he said if my house was on fire, don't ring him. He's such a comedian.
That was a very emotional letter.
Mm. Do you want to have some interesting...
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his 2-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
Here's what do you got for us?
Here's one you can bring up at work tomorrow morning.
All right.
Lesbians.
Off to a solid start.
Have the most orgasms. Sorry, straight ladies, when it comes to crossing the finish line, lesbians are coming in first. A study that looked at the relationship between sexual orientation and orgasm occurrence found that heterosexual women climaxed 61% of the time, not while I'm around, while homosexual women climaxed 74.7% of the time, and bisexual women climaxed a disappointing 58% of the time.
You say disappointing.
So lesbians
have... You've never had those results.
Lesbians have the most orgasms. The least laughs, but the most orgasms. Can we get anything out of that? Do you think the less you smile, the more you orgasm?
I think we've got to get out of this.
Don't forget there's an auction for the renowned footy club. If you're not going to the live show, not this weekend, but next weekend... there's a live show. You can contact Matt Riley.
Matt Riley. For some of these auction items. It's sold out, but you can still bid on the items. There's some pearlers there.
There's some pearlers there indeed. There's
a VIP experience for four people backstage with the Hoodoo Gurus, Jimmy Barnes, accommodation, Cypress Lakes Resort up there.
Play golf there. Amazing.
Sounds sick.
A dinner party in your own home for a group of eight. I don't know eight people.
You won't be bidding on that.
An actual chef. Well, I'll eat for eight. an actual chef would be in your own home cooking dinner for eight people.
That sounds mad fun. Barefoot bowls, 20 people, food included.
Dead Set Legends experience. You can go and watch the Dead Set Legends record on a Saturday morning. Gus, Jude, Bolton and Wendell Saylor.
That'd be cool. New Year's Eve dinner with a view of the Sydney fireworks. Dinner for six people. VIP, reserved balcony table, drinks.
Amazing.
Yeah, good.
Party cruise for 14 people, including food and drinks.
Is that on James Packer's boat?
I think it is.
Or is it on my titty?
You've got to be honest, nothing against the boat that I'm looking at that picture, but it's no James Packer's boat. I've got to
Still better than my boat, though.
Closer to your titty than James's. And what's the other prize, the one that they're all talking about? Stopping traffic.
You can come and sit in while we record a podcast. Sit here, drink some Woodstock bourbons with the boys, have a good time in the Craig Gower studios.
You'll have to shut up.
Oh, yeah. There'll be no laughing.
No.
you've got to clean up our cans afterwards.
That's right. So they're all available at the renowned footy club. Check out Matt Riley on Twitter. He is at Original Matt Riley.
Origin Matt Riley, I think.
Or you can call him on 0423-841-366 for those prizes. Obviously, the money goes to Gotcha for Life, so it's a pretty important charity. So, yeah, we're very proud to assist those guys in any way we can.
We certainly are. And as I mentioned before, our live show this Saturday is going ahead. It's going to be a cracker. We have the Spud, Carol,
yep.
Bill Harrigan.
Yep.
We've got a couple of guys from Six and Out. Bands playing. We're going to play stuff that we can't play on the podcast.
We've taken out of a podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm still not sure we're going to run that. We're going to play a few games. Has it aged well?
There's some good stuff in that. Has it aged well?
It's going to be a great day. So go and buy tickets last minute, fullcreditpodcast.com.
And if you have to catch a train, obviously, don't be so tight. And download the Uber app. It works remarkably well.
Yeah, you can't get straight to Mortdale. Maybe get off at Hurstville. I haven't checked. I can't do everything for you, people. You go and check. Find out where you got to get off and catch an Uber from there.
Yeah.
Doors open 12:30, depending on my mood. And do not bring your mobile phones. If you do, Mrs. Sid's just going to take them anyway.
And if you want to play Queen of the Nile and you don't want to wear a mask, drink a beer.
Yeah, good tip.
And listen, while I've got you all here...
I gotta know what you're doing with me. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Don't be sharp, baby, I won't bite. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?